I was at the State Fair in Minnesota one year. WCCO was a radio station I worked at the time. And a woman came up to me, which, to be honest with you, I'm not used to. And she said, hello. And she said, I'm with this organization that's involved in something called ranked choice voting. And she gave me a bit of an education about it. Her name was Jean Massey. She's the executive director of Fair Vote MN. So it's the Fair Voter Ranked Choice Voting System in Minnesota. And I asked her to talk to us today because I see that ranked choice voting, or that kind of voting, seems to be gaining in popularity. I noticed it in the Alaska House of Representative election, which is going to take place this weekend. Sarah Palin is one of 47 candidates there, and they're going to use this system. Hey, Jean, you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Well, I'm thrilled to be back on the show with you, John.
It's nice to hear
Great
your
to
voice.
Hear your voice.
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
It gets a little complicated every time I try to describe it, but you can. Tell us what ranked choice voting is.
Well, I'm sure you're probably quite good at it by now. So ranked choice voting for your listeners is the opportunity for voters to rank preferences on the ballot, marking a first choice and a second choice and a third choice if they have one, rather than voting for just one candidate. And those rankings are then used to conduct what we call an instant runoff, to ensure that whoever wins in any election earns a majority of voter support, which we can't do now under our quote-unquote plurality system. So by ranking, it lets voters really vote their heart and then ask the question, well, if my candidate doesn't have enough support to move forward in the runoff, then my second choice will count. So it takes all the strategy out of the conversation, and it doesn't put a voter in the position of feeling like they'll waste their vote, or worse, help elect the candidate they like the least by peeling votes away from a major party candidate. So all around, it's a system that gives voters more choice and more power, and it's growing in popularity, as you said, because of that reason. In cities and states where voters are asked, should we use this system, they invariably say yes.
Do they always have to rank them 1, 2, 3, or can you go 4, 5, et cetera?
You can, yeah, there are places where you can rank up to 6 candidates, sometimes more. So there's no limitation on the ranking. Right. Sometimes machines may limit that, but nothing technically.
Where is, I'm thinking of Dr. Oz's victory in Pennsylvania, but can you give us an example that would explain to us, give us a clear example of how this would maybe change the results of an election or affirm, but can you give us a real world example?
Sure. There are several now, and even at the state level. So what you just identified in Pennsylvania in that race is actually one of dozens of primaries happening across the country this year with crowded primaries, many candidates, and the candidate with the most vote wins. That's it. So in many races, including this one, that could be 30% of the vote, which it was in this case, 31%, or even lower. There are several races where candidates are emerging with 20-some percent of the vote. So the question is, who do most voters really want to win? We just know that only a third or fewer voters wanted that candidate. So with ranked choice voting, you would be able to do that. So with a crowded field, you just rank your preferences. And if no candidate gets an outright majority in that initial round of counting, then you eliminate the lowest vote getter and reallocate those ballots based on those voters' second choices and continue that eliminating process and reallocating until one candidate emerges with a majority of the vote. And we conduct that runoff process without asking voters to come back to the polls. Because many don't, and that's
the problem. Yeah, right.
Well,
so let me take a crack at it too. I mean, I have this in front of me. Tell me if I've got it correct. Say you have 3 candidates, and one gets 40%, one gets 39%, one gets 21%. Nobody got more than half the votes. Most people don't want any of them, but the person with 40% wins. But if you said, okay, 40% is in first place, 39% is in second place, we're now going to take all the people that voted for that other candidate that got 21%, and we're going to see who their second choice was. And if for that third place group with 21%, if their second choice was the person who is in fact in second place with 39%, then the 39% person gets to 50 and the other person doesn't, or at least gets more of the votes. They're past 50%. So in
That's
a ranked
right.
choice system, you could see how it would change the results of the election. We would say fair and square today, 40% wins. But still, 60% of the people don't want that person. That does not reflect the will of the people. Ranked choice voting gives you at least a compromise. Okay, who's your second choice? Who do most people mostly want? And that's what it distills.
That's right. And moreover, it's important to understand the dynamics from the campaign point of view. What it requires of candidates is to go out and campaign not just to that 40% and ignore the other 60%. It's to be actively courting second choice votes. And in that process, you refrain from negative campaigning because you don't want to insult another voter's first choice. You want to earn their second choice. So it mitigates negativity in the campaign process. And at the end of the day, whoever wins that office now has the appeal of more than a majority and has to govern to that majority, which we now know doesn't happen. We're seeing the growing polarization and extremism in offices across the country. And it's because we don't have a requirement that they do earn a majority of the vote.
The political advertising in Illinois right now is mostly negative and mostly confusing. You've got Democrats trying to influence the Republican primary by promoting a candidate that the Democrats think they can beat. So money is being spent by Democrats for commercials for a Republican candidate who they think is easier fishing. Give me some states and cities. Minneapolis, Minnesota, do you all use it up there? St. Paul?
Oh, we sure do. And we've had lots of good conversations at the fair about the experience here in Minnesota. And we now use it in a total of 5 cities, Minnesota, Bloomington and Minnetonka and St. Louis Park, western suburbs. Across the country, 50-plus cities now use ranked choice voting or soon will, including 20 in the state of Utah. It really is catching on fast, and I'll say that it's important to see that this is of interest to voters in cities and states that are red and blue and purple.
Yeah. So, and in these 50 cities, and the cities you describe, by the way, for folks who don't know, are major suburbs in the Twin Cities area. Those aren't just small outlying towns, although that doesn't even matter. But a lot of people, in other words, in Minnesota are familiar with and have agreed to use this system. And are they voting for mayor then? Is that what they're doing?
Mayor and city councils are the use.
What about your governor, your secretary of state, your constitutional officers?
Not yet, but we have a major piece of legislation that's a very popular one, one of the most popular bills that was introduced in the past biennium, that would require or implement ranked choice voting for all state offices, including federal offices. So it would be for congressional races and presidential primaries and the presidential election as well, like Maine does. So Maine's a good example of using ranked choice voting at a state level. Consequentially, in its first rollout in 2018, they had a second congressional district race that was, I think, a 4-candidate-strong race. And under the old rules, the candidate with the most votes would win, and the candidate who placed first in that election did have about 40% of the vote, and that would have been the end. But under ranked choice voting, there was the instant runoff, and the bottom two candidates were eliminated, and when those ballots were cast for second choices, then the second-place candidate actually emerged as the majority preference.
That's really interesting. Let's pause here for just a minute. Yes. Jean Massey's on a phone line, executive director of Fair Vote Minnesota. One last question when we come back, Jean. Do Democrats like this more? Do conservatives like this more? Does this tilt the scale one way, at least in people's minds?
John Williams is running an ad that says he should be governor.
I'd be a swell governor.
Then he ran ads saying Dave Enit would be a bad governor.
If you vote for Dave, everyone will die.
Now he's running an ad that says Dave's ad that says Dave would be a good governor is a fake ad.
Wait, I did what?
And Dave has an ad mocking John's ad that mocks Dave's ad.
I'm sorry, so who are we rooting for here?
Listen to this. John Williams says he completely and passionately supports Dave.
What's the best
What's the best thing?
John Williams says he completely and passionately supports Dave.
What's the best
What's the best thing?
We can't trust John anymore.
I swear to God, I thought this was going to be an ad for me. I'm so confused.
Paid for by some people you've never heard of who support someone, but it's way over your head, so never mind.
I'm still not sure if this is a commercial for me. Is this an ad for Dave?
I don't think we ever resolved that. It's 11:52. Speaking of voting, we're talking about this business of ranked choice voting. Jean Massey's on a phone line. She's the executive director of Fair Vote MN. FairVoteMN.org is their website. It's used in cities and states across the country. She mentioned Maine. I believe Oakland has a system like this. It's popular in Utah for some reason. We don't have it in Illinois yet, but our news click asked all of you if you like the idea. And 2-1, you said yes. Although in ranked choice voting, 47% said, I don't even know what it is yet. So we have a bit of an educational hurdle to get over, I guess, in any new state or municipality. Right, Jean?
Well, right. Illinois is a good example. You know, you've got runoff in Chicago itself, and ranked choice voting would just allow that for that runoff to happen in a single trip to the polls.
So
you have to bring voters back.
Is this favored by Democrats or Republicans?
Well, the good news is it really is in states that are red, blue, and purple. And so it's getting a lot of use by all kinds of voters. I'll mention in Virginia, Youngkin had won his endorsement process in a popular endorsement process using ranked choice voting. So in Utah and in Virginia, the Republicans use it for their endorsing and primary process. And Alaska, so I want to come back to Alaska, which is considered a red state. They just adopted the system, and they do have a primary underway right now that you mentioned. Yeah. Sarah Palin came out on top, but she's one of four who emerged from that primary. And then those four advanced to a general election in August using ranked choice voting.
And how many, what percentage of the vote did Sarah get? Did you know? Or that's Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the final tally is Saturday. The vote had happened, but they're waiting for absentee ballots to come through and finalize the tally. At this point, she's at about 28%, and the second-place finisher is at about 19%. I think that's Begich. And then there's another independent and Democrat who are among those top four.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that interesting? So there's Sarah Palin with 28%. So 72% did not vote for her. And her unfavorables are probably pretty high, even though she's well-known and liked in Alaska. So I wonder if she would then win. Would she be anybody's second choice? I could see voting for Sarah. But if you're going to vote for Sarah, you're going to vote for Sarah. I wonder if you're not. You probably really aren't going to vote for Sarah, and she might lose in a ranked choice system.
Well, that's why you want to ask the voters who they prefer in a runoff and make sure the will of the majority does prevail. So they moved to an open primary system in that way. So now the top four advance, and we'll soon see who the majority of the voters prefer. So Alaska uses the system. They'll be using it for state and federal elections as well in November of this year. Maine uses ranked choice voting. Those are the two states. In Minnesota, we have legislation. There's some legislation in Illinois to adopt ranked choice voting for state elections as well. I don't think it's made a lot of progress this past session, but there is legislation, so you can look that up. And then there are new ballot measures at the local level happening and potentially at the state level this year.
I just have a minute left, Jean. The seat for which Sarah Palin is running belonged to a congressman who had served 49 years and has passed away. This is a special election of sorts. The people then voted in this ranked choice system, and Sarah's one of the top four. Are they going to then vote again, or are they just going to use the results of the ranked choice to run it off and determine who wins?
Well, no, actually, as a matter of fact, that first election, that open primary, was not ranked. So these are the top four candidates that emerged with just voting for one. And there were 47 candidates on the ballot. So these are the top four candidates.
I see. And are they going to then use ranked choice in the final?
That's correct.
And just a couple of text messages. 773 says, to be clear, so you vote once and you count the first choice in round one, second choice in round two. You only vote one time, but you mark one, two, and three, your first through three choices.
That's right. And your second choice only comes into play once your first choice is eliminated in the runoff.
Okay, you can find out more at fairvotemn.org. They use this in Minnesota. Or just call Jean Massey at your leisure. She's the executive director up there. They got a whole staff that works on this and educates people. Jean, it's good to talk to you. Stay well and stay cool in Minnesota.
Or if you come back to the state fair, let me know.
Yes, I will.